No opinions, no arguing, just the news. Right now.
Right now.
Chris Bryant, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Okay, we're going to move on to, now we've gotten the controversial things out of the way, we'll now move on to the easy stuff, the confirmation of the University of West Florida president, Manny Diaz.
That's kind of funny. Alan Levine is the chairman of the Board of Governors for the university system here in Florida, and he says he understands that there was controversy surrounding Manny Diaz and UWF because he was on the selection committee that picked, or helped in part pick, Manny Diaz to be the president, now president-elect, now I guess president, but I get ahead of myself. Anyway, so it's kind of funny. That's actually a pretty good joke. Chair of the board here at UWF for the Board of Trustees, Rebecca Matthews. She speaks a little bit before yesterday's deliberation over whether to make him the actual president at UWF.
On January 8th, as Chair Levine said just a few moments ago, the UWF Board of Trustees selected Manny Diaz Jr. to serve as president-elect. This came at the conclusion of a thorough search process following Board of Governors Regulation 1.002.
Well, that's actually an open question. The question is whether it was an appropriately lawful search process because they did not produce three candidates as the Board of Governors rules indicate they should. The claim is that there were the appropriate justifiable exceptions to those rules. That's why they only produced one. I still think that they did not follow those rules, but this came up a little bit later. In any case, she's obviously got to claim that we followed the rules and produced Manny Diaz as the candidate. And in case you haven't heard me talk about this before, my view is I think everything we did to get to this point was wrong. Everything, including the ousting of Martha Saunders, the appointing of a group of trustees to the board who are going to block vote however DeSantis wants them to vote, or at least apparently so, and then the selection of only one candidate out of all the candidates. I thought everything about this has been weird. But I'm actually pretty optimistic about Manny Diaz. I think he'll make a very good president, or at least I'm hopeful that that'll be the case. We've talked quite a bit before about his vision for the university, the idea of growing it, making it a tier one school that would compete with Florida and Florida State for students. And, whether he thinks that'll make it larger or not, been a little bit of a we're not sure. He says he wants to preserve the small size, but I don't know how you do the one without doing the other. But in any case, yeah, I think actually he's going to be a very good president. I'm optimistic, whereas I had some concerns about that. But I hate the way we got here. Everything we did to get here was wrong.
From his first day on campus, Diaz has meaningfully engaged with all, earning trust and respect through his energy, accessibility, clear commitment to UWF's mission.
Yeah, and that's been clear. Definitely that's true. He's definitely worked his tail off to try to, overcome the objections, the concerns, build bridges, get to know people, know the community, know the university, all things that are a little bit alien to him. He was on the Board of Governors, and he was the Secretary of Education for a while. So, he's got, it's not like he has no knowledge, but, specific to the Panhandle and Escambia County, not so much.
On behalf of the UWF Board of Trustees, it is a pleasure to submit our formal recommendation to the Board of Governors to confirm President-elect Diaz as our 7th president of the University of West Florida.
And since Doug Broxson, a former senator, is now on the Board of Governors, he was asked to speak by Alan Levine.
It is with some emotion that I am involved today in naming or recognizing President Diaz. My brother in 1963 was in the Florida legislature and created the University of West Florida.
1963. So 62 years ago, Doug's brother. But I know his family is a large, sprawling family with a lot of different, things. And but can you imagine that? Like, your brother founds the university. And now here you are, 62, 63 years later, you get to vote on the new president because you are also, you know, former senator and now on the Board of Governors. That's wild, man.
As you know, universities lift the spirit of an area. For Northwest Florida, the University of West Florida represents a community that loves the university.
And certainly Doug Broxson knows how the community and UWF are, you know, tied together, and you know, lots and lots of alum live in this area, and big fans of the university. You know, I sent two kids to UWF, and the only reason my third one's not going there is because he's going to pursue nursing, and he's going to do it at PSC instead, which are very competitive programs, right? So, you know, I'm a big fan of UWF, obviously, have a lot invested there.
I will tell you that, and you know this, and it's a hard process when you have a change in leadership in universities, and it could have been a very, very hard landing. I think President Diaz had a couple of issues he had to deal with. One is he was a recovering politician, and the other, he was from Miami. I reminded him that the first word spoken in 1557 on the shores of Pensacola, which was not Pensacola, was in Spanish. So he would have a 200-year welcome home party for him.
That's kind of cute. Yeah, 450, but still, I mean, I get his point, you know, right? The first person to come to Pensacola was a Spanish speaker from elsewhere, and now the latest president to come to Pensacola is a Spanish speaker from elsewhere. So, you know, it's kind of a cute note. And he says, look, you know, very favorable words for him. He's got unique skill and passion to get anything done when he was in the Senate.
There is a people that are uniquely gifted to meet challenges. I served with Manny in the legislature, with both the House and the Senate, and his passion was education. Every major difficult subject he took on, and he expressed it in such ways that the members understood, and he would always bring it over the finish line. It was unique.
And so he's really, you know, he's aware that Manny has a great reputation as being a legislator, as having worked in all these different areas. But he's also aware that UWF and a lot of locals are still, at least where I am, which is maybe not so frustrated about Manny per se, but very frustrated over how we got here, the process, and all the different shenanigans that have taken place on the board of UWF and the board of PSC, frankly, although that one hasn't quite gotten to the same fever pitch level just yet. But, you know, he's aware of that, and he says,
you would do a great job because you are a hard worker, and you take any challenge and make it successful. So I know that there are a few people that will have lingering concerns, but it will happen, and you will be our next president. Thank you.
And one of the people who has lingering concerns, not so much from here, Kimberly Dunn is on the FAU faculty. She's the faculty senate president for Florida Atlantic University. I believe that's one of the statutory positions, is that it's some position from the state faculty senate organization. It is kind of like how the faculty senate president at UWF is an automatic member of the board of trustees. Okay. And similarly, I think it's the same kind of situation for the statewide faculty. That senate representative is automatically on the board of governors. In any case, she raises the question. She's the only one that really raises the question and, you know, asks Rebecca Matthews about the process. You know, how did we get here? The process of getting here, that is concerning. Now, I'm not going to play it now, but I want to tell you that if you're interested in this, I have really, really interesting analysis for this at 7 o'clock. If you care about UWF and this process, the Board of Governors and Manny Diaz, and I'm not going to play it now, but I will tell you at 7:10, actually, when we start the segment, come back. Just trust me. I have an absolutely stunning thing to share with you. But for the moment, she talked with Rebecca Matthews. Rebecca Matthews gives an answer. Rebecca is the chair of the Board of Trustees for UWF and one of DeSantis' installees. And Kimberly Dunn, at the end of all that, says,
thank you for your response. Chair Levine, I just want to express that my faculty colleagues and I are increasingly concerned about presidential searches within our system that result in only one finalist, especially when that finalist is an internal candidate and the impact of this decision on future searches and attracting the best possible talent. And so my vote today will reflect my concerns about this decision on future searches and not about President Diaz's qualifications. I do believe that he has served and will continue to serve well, and I look forward to seeing what he does at UWF.
Sorry, the feed was really sketchy yesterday. It was kind of coming in and going out. But this is interesting because she's saying, again, not objecting to Manny per se, President Diaz per se, but objecting to the process that she believes is not fully in line with the Board of Governors rules, but for two reasons. Number one, just picking one candidate is problematic on its own. Second, when that candidate is an internal candidate, meaning somebody that's kind of got the edge in, they're inside the university already, like Manny was the interim president, that sends a message to potential applicants in other similar positions in the future, and that has a discouraging effect on them and will reduce the pool of applicants for other jobs and will make it basically harder to find the best person and easier to get the insider kind of in. And she worries that that will, you know, be a problematic, have a problematic influence on the process going forward in general. And I share those same concerns. I definitely share those concerns. They wind up doing the vote.
I'm going to call for a motion for the confirmation of Manny Diaz as the president of the University of West Florida. Doug Broxson, would you like to make the motion? Governor Broxson moves.
Second.
Got a second from Governor Edge. Any comments? If not, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed, no?
No.
Congratulations.
So as she had signaled, Kimberly Dunn was the only no vote, and she said she was not voting against Manny Diaz per se. She was voting against the process that produced him. I don't know whether I would have voted yes or no in this circumstance, but I have the exact same sentiment. I think I'd vote for him, but I would absolutely vote against this process. And the question is whether the process fatally corrupts the end result. And also, you know, you have to think sort of strategically about these things. You know, what's the point of being the no vote when obviously you're going to be the only one or one of maybe two or three, because nobody else on the board signaled any concerns about this whatsoever. Manny Diaz, now that he is the president.
It is an incredible honor to be able to serve as the seventh president of the University of West Florida.
And he says,
Florida's got a bright future and we will continue to push forward. So with that, thank you very much again for the support, for the confidence, and go Argos.
So there you go. It's all but done but the complaining, maybe. Like I said, I have something I want to share with you at 7:10. I know you'll find it interesting. Let me just put it that way. I know you'll find it interesting. 5:22 here on News Radio 92.3. Hey, it's warm. It's like 43. When was the last time in Pensacola you would say, oh man, it's kind of hot, I need to take some layers off, it's gotten up to 43. Well, there we are. But it is going to be wicked cold over the weekend. So really, really, I mean, I saw a map of the panhandle with, you know, wind chill numbers in the single digits. Single digits for Northwest Florida wind chill. But no expectation for rain. But you know, we had no expectation for, which would be snow, of course. We didn't, or freezing ice or whatever. But we didn't have any expectation of that the last time. So you never know. I mean, you know, weird things can happen. 5:22 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you need a roof or need a replacement or you aren't sure. And, you know, obviously you might think you do, but you might not be sure. Or you're thinking about selling a home and, you know, insurance is suddenly telling you that you or your agent, you know, you can't sell that house without getting a new roof on it because you're like, well, it's 12 years old. Yeah. I mean, that's the standard now. It's like 10 years, which is, I think, crazy, but I understand based on insurance costs and hurricane threat and all that. In any case, Quality Roofing Solutions is a great organization to have come out and do your roof or at least look at it and talk to you. And they will. They'll talk to you like a person. And, you know, about 90% or 95% or so of the roofs are replacements. About 5 to 10% they do repairs. And a lot of times, you know, it's kind of once you're doing the repair, it's not that much more mobilizing and all that to necessarily do the whole roof. And you're going to save money because it's going to cost keep going up and they will not be going down over the next few years. And if you're going to have to repair part now, you might have to be replacing the whole thing in 3 or 4 years. Depending on the nature of your current roof, you might save money through a wind mitigation inspection on your insurance. I mean, there's all kinds of things to talk about, but they'll talk to you about that. They have a 4.9 rating on Google. They understand that this is not anybody's favorite thing to do. And they understand that, you know, people a lot of times have a kind of an apprehension about dealing with you know, contractors and builders and those kind of folks, because you'd feel like you don't know anything, and maybe they don't always treat you the way they should. And Brian Ward, who started this company 20 years ago in Pensacola, has done 10,000 roofs. He's like, I am going to be dedicated to talking to people and being a good neighbor and being the kind of service that they feel good about, you know, before, during, and after. QualityRoofingSolutions.com is the website, 777-0961.
You know, this is one of those topics that no one really wants to think about, but if you're a parent, a homeowner, married, or helping take care of aging parents, it's something that honestly deserves a little attention. I'm talking about estate planning. And before you tune out thinking it's complicated or expensive, that's actually why I want to mention Trust and Will. Trust and Will makes estate planning feel way less intimidating than it sounds. They offer modern, attorney-designed wills and trusts that you can create online. And the process is surprisingly straightforward. In fact, you can create a will in as little as 30 minutes. That includes things like guardianship for your kids or pets, how your assets are distributed, and even healthcare directives. Don't wait until it's too late. Protect your loved ones with Trust and Will, the most trusted name in online estate planning. Go to trustandwill.com/plan to get 20% off. That's trustandwill.com/plan for 20% off. trustandwill.com/PLAN.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Do you have questions regarding your plants and landscaping? If so, the Garden Line is for you. I am Mike Wiggins, and every Tuesday morning at 9, we are here for you on News Radio 92.3 to answer your questions. Seasonal changes call for different activities in your lawn and garden, so tune in and text or call with your questions on the Garden Line on Tuesdays at 9 and an encore each Saturday at the same time.
The Garden Line on the Pensacola Expert Panel, Tuesdays at 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Something important happens.
You don't have time to wait.
Breaking news lives here. Here. On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
From this day forth, all the toilets in this kingdom shall be known as John's.
Informer. Good morning, 526 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. A Republican senator is holding up a bipartisan deal to avoid a government shutdown. Lawmakers on Capitol Hill did reach a deal last night that would pass a five full-year spending bills and avoid provide stopgap funding for the Department of Homeland Security. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham, however, has placed a hold on that funding package.
You know why? You know what this is about? This is amazing. Do you remember that provision that would allow the senators to sue if their phone records related to, oh my God, all of a sudden I forget. It was the squirreliest of, if their phone records had been investigated.
Right.
All of a sudden I just cannot remember the background, what the connection incident was. And it was crazy that thing got passed, and he's unwilling to let that go into this. And so it's basically 99-1. But because
was this the compensation deal? They got a bunch of money out of that? Okay.
Yeah, that's it. And, so he's the one holding it up. Because in order to do it fast track, you have to have unanimous consent in the Senate.
Right.
So yeah, he's the reason.
Okay.
And that's the justification.
That's the catalyst.
That's crazy.
Crazy. The Transportation Security Administration is launching its Confirm ID program at airports nationwide starting this Sunday. Passengers that don't have a real ID or other acceptable form of ID would have to pay $45 ahead of time for an alternative ID check. And police in Texas, Andrew, are looking for the owner of a runaway kangaroo. The kangaroo was spotted on Wednesday hopping down a local road there.
I don't know why you're looking at me. I don't have
Houston.
A kangaroo in my yard.
The kangaroo has been rounded up by police and animal control, but they're looking for the owner.
You looked suspiciously at me like I had something to do with this.
Well, you never know.
Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, suppose that's true. You never really know who's got a kangaroo that they've stolen. So David, thanks so much for the update.
Absolutely, anytime.
437-1620, 437-1620. Yeah, we still, we're in the shutdown hokey pokey mode again, and so we don't really know whether they're going to, yesterday they were betting we would shut down, although it'd be a short one. Then they were sure we were going to solve it, and now we're back to, it looks like we're going to have a shutdown, so, you know. Whatever. By the way, the Lindsey Graham thing was about the phone records being collected in connection with the Jack Smith probe. So that's what, and again, the right of the senators to sue over all of that. That was the issue that Lindsey Graham does not want to give up. It's crazy. Anyway, so we might have shut down because of the defense of a thing that shouldn't have been in place in the first place. This will not affect a lot of the things if it does shut down. This will not be a full government shutdown. This will be like a partial shutdown. There will be some things that will be affected. A lot of other things that will not, the questions people ask, will the Postal Service? No, that's independently operated. Will the national parks be shut down? No, they are already funded. That's one of the things that went through. What will it mean for DHS remains to be seen. What will it mean for the military? Doesn't seem like that's going to be an issue. Maybe air traffic control is going to be one of these things that's going to be affected again, but that kind of remains to be seen. The IRS, interestingly, is one of the affected agencies, but the expectation is that because it's tax season, the IRS will be forced to keep working on the expectation that they're going to get paid eventually. So that's one to maybe kind of keep an eye on if it happens, is what the effect would be on the IRS operations during tax season.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Americans face a second government shutdown, a partial one, in the past few months. Democrats striking a deal with President Trump to separate money for DHS from the spending bill and fund it for 2 weeks while Congress debates guardrails for ICE.
Senators will return today to try to pass the funding bill again. Either way, though, this likely won't avoid a partial government shutdown because the House still needs to come back and pass the measure, and that's not expected to happen until Monday at the earliest.
The House is in recess. Fox's Madeline Rivera. President Trump seems ready to name a new leader for the central bank.
It's widely reported that today President Trump is going to nominate Kevin Warsh to be the next Federal Reserve chairman. Now, he was up for the job back in 2017, but the president at that time, President Trump, chose Jerome Powell.
Shira Cassone, the Fox Business Network. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 38 degrees right now across the area with partly cloudy skies. We will get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson and Channel 3. That's up in just a few minutes. Escambia County is cleaning up Chimesway Park in Brent after it became a homeless camp. Neighbors say the park has been littered with alcohol bottles, cigarettes, and even reportedly human waste. Some individuals have reportedly been living under the skate ramps there. County crews started cleaning the park up Thursday evening after receiving reports of damage. The work is expected to be wrapped up today. Nobody's been forcibly removed from the park. An attorney for professional boxer Gervonta Tank Davis is pushing back hard after his client was arrested on a domestic violence charge in a Miami courtroom yesterday. Attorney Simon Steckel argued that Davis would not be a flight risk. He says this case is really all about money. Steckel told the judge Davis is being targeted for extortion.
There was a documented shakedown, and the alleged victim, too, okay, was actually with him after the Tootsie's incident and lied to the police when he would not pay the $1 million.
Davis's ex-girlfriend accuses him of attacking her at a strip club last October, where she was working at the time. A judge said Davis's bond at $8,500 and issued a stay-away order. He faces charges including battery, false imprisonment, and attempted kidnapping. A 60-year-old man is facing animal cruelty charges for allegedly abandoning two dogs in Escambia County. The sheriff's office says Brian Mott was arrested yesterday after a deputy spotted his truck with two dogs, then saw the same truck later without the dogs. A witness reported seeing the red Chevy Silverado dump the dogs on Becks Lake Road. Mott reportedly gave the deputies conflicting explanations. Surveillance video did confirm his truck traveling with the animals. The dogs are now with animal control. Well, a longtime Pinellas County Corrections deputy is now out of a job and facing a criminal charge after a scuffle with an inmate in a hospital room. Sheriff Bob Gualteri says 66-year-old James Jones punched a restrained inmate who was lying in bed at a Northside hospital in St. Petersburg back in December. Gualteri says the situation escalated quickly.
He had a lot of time in the Florida Department of Corrections as an officer. He had the last 4 years here as a deputy. He never had any issues or problems, and he lost it.
The inmate, George Miller, suffered a bruise to the cheek and a cut near his eye. A registered nurse witnessed the incident and reported it. Jones claimed the inmate kicked him during what he called a temper tantrum. Investigators say the evidence did not back that up. It's 5:35 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be looking at partly cloudy skies today with temperatures near 57 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures starting to drop near 24 degrees. As you head into Saturday, very cold weather with temperatures topping out in the 30s. Windy weather making it feel much colder. Saturday night, temperatures dropping into the low 20s. Going into Sunday, sunny skies, high near 41. And Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 28. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEART Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 38 degrees. Partly cloudy skies. Our next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. President Trump said that he will be naming his pick for the new Federal Reserve chair later today. The process for deciding on Powell's replacement began in September with an 11-candidate field that included past and current Fed officials, economists, and Wall Street investment professionals. Trump is expected to pick Kevin Warsh. Apple has reported blowout first quarter earnings and predicted growth of as much as 16% in the current quarter, matching the period that just ended. The iPhone maker added that sales could be even better if the company secures enough chips to...
Hey, Dave Ramsey here. You've heard me talk about one car dealership in Pensacola, Frontier Motors, at 230 Beverly Parkway. Folks, new cars lose 11% of their value the second you drive them off the lot. So for years, Frontier Motors has been saving Pensacola residents thousands of dollars by getting them into the best previously owned vehicles. And thousands of people have enjoyed Frontier Motors' no hassle, no pressure experience. Just the best slightly used vehicles in town at a fair price. But don't take my word for it. Look around, and you'll start noticing all the Frontier Motors decals and tags. They're everywhere. So if you're in the market for a vehicle, do yourself a favor and see the friendly folks and the huge inventory at Frontier Motors. You can't miss them. Just look for the big buffalo on the lot. That's Frontier Motors at 230 Beverly Parkway. And don't forget to tell them Dave Ramsey said hey.
Ladies, join us to be the impact in 2026. I'm Martha Holden, president of Impact 100 Pensacola, a women's organization that has given over $18 million to nonprofits right here. Meet other members and hear about the impact our funding has made at meet and mingle sessions through mid-February. Women 18 and older are invited to join us by March 1st. For details, check us out on Facebook or visit impact100pensacola.org. That's impact100pensacola.org.
You don't have to keep jumping around the dial all day.
Start your morning with Pensacola Morning News, weekdays 5 to 9. Stick around for Pep Talk with Meg from 9 to 11. Then it's MVR from 11 till 2, Hughes Hewitt from 2 to 4, and Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin from 4 to 7. One station, one day, everything you need to know. News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us. Nice sunny day. Still cold, but sunny. I'll take it. Let's see. We've got Mike Wood. He is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department joining us now. Mike, as always, welcome back, sir. Good to talk to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. So I know we got a couple of smaller stories. They're still very interesting stories that I want to get to. But before we do that, it seems to me like the big story of the week, I mean, we talked about it yesterday quite a bit, but the Rodney Jones arrest, the charges against him and his children involving the allegations about misbehavior with a woman, a teenager, involved in the Hoops program, going through a community service and all of this. I know you guys have been leading this investigation, so you guys have a lot more information than I do. Tell me what we know. Let's start there.
Well, I have to be careful with that because it is a sex crime, so a lot of information is restricted. But what I can tell you is that anytime a person is charged and then family members or friends or anybody else calls or makes any kind of contact or communication with the victim, that's going to be problematic. And that's what happened in this case, whether it be asking them to drop the charges or threats or maybe it could be financial considerations, trying to get a victim to drop the charges. All of that is highly illegal. Everybody wants to take up for their family members and things like that in situations like this, but you have to be very careful. And that's what went very wrong in this case with family members of Mr. Jones.
You know, I wanted to actually ask you about that because I know we haven't yet talked about the underlying charges that started this all, but my wife asked me this question yesterday. She says, look, when people get involved in, say, litigation, one of the most common outcomes of that is that, you know, A pays B a bunch of money and B agrees to not talk about it. You know, non-disclosure agreements, confidentiality are a result of paying a payment. And she says, what's the difference between that and offering somebody to shut up in exchange for money, which we would style, let's say, as a bribe? But why is it illegal to offer somebody money? I mean, coercion, intimidation, obviously we get that. But why is it a crime to offer somebody money to stop talking about an alleged crime?
Well, you're talking with attorneys around tables where everybody's there, nobody's being threatened, and it's a deal that everybody agrees with. In situations like this, before an arrest is even made, a lot of times, and sometimes after the arrest, when you're going to do it in the back door sort of situation with threats and money and things like that, that's the difference. That's what makes it illegal. It's different when the prosecutor's office and the defense attorneys are all involved in a situation or in a deal.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. But back to the original allegation. And again, I understand that because we had at the time of the crimes, a minor, now an adult. I think that's right. Right. She's an adult now. The victim is an adult now.
I believe so.
Okay. But at the time, a minor, 16 years old, according to the reports. She's got to do this community service. She goes and works with Hoops, and she alleges that he touched her, that escalated, that eventually it was, you know, unwanted sexual advances, and she was basically afraid to talk to anybody or to say no, because if she said no to what eventually became sex, that she would not get signed off on her community service, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's in a position of authority, and he has a lot being held over her head, you know, sort of. So he had, she felt like, according to the report, that she felt like that if she didn't do like he said, then he could withhold that or withhold the signatures and keep her there longer. So it's a bad situation. You hear about it all too often of people that are in authority that do things to those. You know, it's you've heard police officers and corrections officers and clergy and all kinds of people involved in this sort of thing. And it's just a sad situation.
And of course, he has denied, or at least through attorneys, has denied, you know, all of the allegations. But you guys didn't just, you know, make all of this up. You did a very thorough investigation that, as I understand it, involves even things like verifying cash transfers through apps and or phone messages that confirm her side of the story. Is that basically right, or are there other elements of this you can talk about?
Yeah, well, you have to investigate everything. All the accusations, if a person says this was done and that was done, we have ways of verifying that to make sure the story is true, because a lot of times it can be the other way around. You know, if you don't sign off on this early, or if you don't do this for me, then I'm going to say that you did that to me, mm-hmm. That sort of situation. So our detectives have to go through this very carefully, and it takes a long time sometimes to get all this information before charges are brought. But I can tell you the investigators at the Pensacola Police Department are going to do their jobs very well and not bring charges until things have been verified.
you know, one of the things that I think a lot of a very understandable response to a story like this is, you know, well, that's she said, he said, she's, you know, been convicted of a crime. That's why she's serving community service. You know, how do we know who to believe? Could it just be a matter of opinion? Could it even be, as you mentioned, a matter of reverse threats that, you know, she says, I'll tell a story if you don't do what I want you to do. For people who might be having that kind of a reaction, and of course, he's innocent criminally until proven guilty, you know, but we know where the investigation seems to be leading and what the report says. How would you answer, or how would you sort of reassure people who might have that perception of this particular story?
Well, again, our detectives are going to look into it. Are going to look into it from a from 30,000 feet. They're going to look at all the possibilities, and they're going to look at paperwork, transactions, phone records, all kinds of things, and not just in this case, but this is the way cases like this are investigated. And once they have all their information, then they present it. They get with the state attorney's office, and once an agreement is made that charges should be forthcoming, that's what we do. And if charges are not, then either they're not brought or maybe could be taken to a grand jury. So the investigators know what they're doing, and they know the facts that they have, and it was enough to bring charges in this case.
Last question on this subject, and I ask this because to me this is, I mean, the incidents themselves alleged are important. The treatment of this girl, as alleged, is important. You know, making sure that if they're true, a predator is not allowed to continue doing that. All of that's important. But to me, the maybe not more relevant, but the broader implication is we have, you know, 330,000 people in Escambia County, 50,000 plus people in the city of Pensacola. Leverage, abuse, threats, coercion, fear, intimidation, and unwanted physical touching that escalates. I wish it weren't common, but it is relatively common. It's common enough that there are a lot of women who are afraid to come forward and afraid that they're going to get turned into the bad guy or that they're going to be, you know, further abused by exposure. What would Mike Wood, the lifetime police officer, tell such women who might be having that fear but are experiencing anything like this right now?
Well, first of all, the first time something happens, it needs to be reported. Please don't be afraid and let it escalate to a situation to where you're locked in and things have gone from maybe from inappropriate language to touching, and it can get worse. So when it gets to that point, somebody needs to be told about it early on so it doesn't go on for 6-8 months to a year or even worse than that.
You know, I said last question, but it's exactly what you just said. The follow-up is, how many times as a law enforcement investigator have you come across a woman who said, well, I didn't think he'd keep doing it, or he promised me he'd stop, or he said he loved me, or anything in that vicinity, which is why she waited and waited and waited, and it got worse?
Yeah, that does happen, and especially in cases of domestic violence, there's all kinds of reasons why the ladies keep going or stay in that relationship or stay in that home. Because there's many reasons why they do it, whether they're afraid for the children or it's financial reasons. These women have different reasons for this, but all I can tell them is that they don't have to put up with that. There is help, and we will get them that help. Just don't stay in a situation like that.
Amen. Absolutely. Mike, we had yet another break-in or vandalism incident at the Old Baptist campus as it's in the process of getting taken down, but what happened here?
Yeah, some people got in there again attempting to take some precious metals out of there. And once again, we do have good suspect information in this one, so probably an arrest is forthcoming. But, you know, a message to the bad guys out there, don't get onto this property because the chances of you, it's kind of like the ballpark downtown, the chances of you getting caught are very high. So stop doing that.
You know, it's kind of interesting. I saw the pictures that the PNJ did of inside before it gets demolished. And what I kept thinking is, I mean, that looks like a great yard sale. There's a lot of desks and, you know, equipment, but I know that's probably what thieves think is, oh, that's a good stuff I can take. And no, you can't. And you're probably going to get caught, as you guys have caught many people trying to do this exact same kind of thing. You had an incident at the port that was pretty weird. What happened?
Well, we had a person, a man decided he wanted to jump the fence to get in to the port. We don't know why, but he did injure himself going over that fence. Once he was inside, I don't believe anything was stolen, but he realized that he's trapped in there now. He doesn't want to go back out the same way he came in because it caused injury. So he found a vehicle that was inside the port. He was able to start that vehicle and ram a fence with it pretty close to where he got in the first time and was able to escape. Only for about a half a block, officers quickly apprehended him before he could make it to Main Street.
They got him before he got to Main? You guys must have been responding pretty wow. Because it's not that long. I mean, that's just, a block. that's amazing.
Yeah, it's a combination of good police work and security at the port and what a great patrol division. How about that?
Yeah, man. Also, not the most well-thought-out plan by the criminal.
No, yeah.
Because breaking
into the exit strategy wasn't a good one.
Yeah, and I mean, the port is a secured area. It's like breaking into the airport, right? You have to get on the, to get on the grounds of the port, you got to have a TWIC card or, be accompanied. And I mean, it's, you're breaking into a military base, breaking into the port, breaking into the airport. These are all kind of similar things, right?
Yeah, they're very well secured, and you might as well try breaking into county jail when you're doing something like that. It's not a good idea.
I'm trying to also figure out, what was he trying to steal? Like one of the nacelles, he's trying to. You can barely transport those things with a truck, let alone with just on your own with your legs. And then last one is you had a what turned out to be a swatting incident or something like it or spoofing. And you tell me, this was actually, I was on vacation. This was last Friday, and I was driving away from Walmart and see 1, 2, 3, 4, 8, 9, 10 cruisers, lights on, responding, going east on Creighton. Called Greg Gordon, talked to him about. I actually wound up calling you on vacation. I apologize because I didn't, had not remembered that you were. And I so very kindly hung up immediately and said, I'm sorry. But what happened at this incident at the Walmart?
Well, it's just what you said. It was an indication. We had an indication from a caller that there was an active shooter type situation going on up there. And when that happens, we pull out all the stops. Everybody's going to go to that location, and quickly found out that it was a swatting type situation. I believe there was one a day before, maybe a couple of days before, in Santa Rosa County.
Yeah,
maybe incorrect on that, but so we believe that that's all that was, and officers were back on their normal patrol beats very quickly after that.
Very good.
Not much to it.
Yeah, when I talked to Greg, Officer Gordon, about it, and he had said that there was somebody. Said they were in the parking lot getting ready to shoot up the place, which of course turned out to be false. My reaction was because I carry, and I had been there, minutes before. Whenever this call was going on, I was at the Walmart. And my first thought was, oh my God, I hope somebody didn't see me reaching up on the top shelf. You know what I mean? Because you wonder about that. Thank goodness that wasn't it. But, you wonder what's going on with these things, but you guys have to treat it like it's an incident because the time you don't is the time it could have been, right?
Yeah, we're going to do that, but we're also not going to have every resource that we have run to one location when it could be a diversion type situation and then something happens on the other side of town. So we're all, we're prepared for that and trained for that, but we're not going to take everything seriously until we get there and understand or find out that it was a false call.
Absolutely. Last thing, we always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. You have one for me this week?
Yeah, and it has to do with what you just brought up, carrying concealed. Even though you're able to carry concealed, no problem with that at all. But when you assault a law enforcement officer in Florida while carrying a concealed gun, that triggers severe enhanced penalties, often escalating charges to felonies with mandatory minimum prison sentences under the Florida's 1020 life law. So mere possession of a firearm during a crime can result in a 10-year minimum mandatory sentence, while displaying it increases the penalty, and firing it carries a 20-year minimum. So basically, battery on an officer, take that. Simple battery on an officer is elevated to a third-degree felony up to 5 years. Just because you had it in your waistband, did not display it, did not threaten to use it, but just simply because you had it.
Okay, if I give Jamie Brierton a hug at the parade while concealed carrying, I'm still okay because it's not unwanted touching, right?
Yeah, it depends on how hard you hug him.
Well, he's a ginger. He bruises easily.
Yes, he does. Gets his feelings hurt easily, too.
Mike Wood is a public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you so much for the time. I appreciate you, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, sir.
You bet. 5:53 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And if you are looking for that next vehicle and you don't want to buy new, because you understand that buying new has a certain kind of cost when you drive the car off the lot, that very first mile is the most expensive one. As Dave Ramsey always likes to say, the depreciation hit you take is pretty significant. if you'd rather get a car that maybe you're going to be the second or the third owner, but, you know, not like the sixth owner, and you want something that's almost new, in great shape, and will last you a while, that's what Frontier Motors sells. They don't sell brand new cars, and they don't sell clunkers. They sell cars that are in good shape. Every car they sell comes with a 10-year or 100,000-mile warranty. That's not an extra cost. There's no extra charge for that. They don't add that later. That's part of the deal every time. And because they know they're going to sell you a good car. That's all they buy is, you know, they go to auctions or they talk to lease companies, and individuals also can sell them cars. And they only deal with cars that are in good shape. You know, 1 to maybe 3 or 4 years young, 10 to 40 or 50 at most, maybe 1,000 miles. That's really their sweet spot. We bought a car there a couple years ago. Had to replace a car that we bought when our first child was born because we had to get a minivan because, you know, kids, car seats, all that. But it had reached its time. And so we went and found a car to test drive there. We were really just looking to test drive it, but the people were great. The car was exactly what we wanted, and the price was fantastic. So we bought it, and we have loved them ever since. They're the kind of place that you want to go back, that you want to support. Locally owned, operated, 25 years plus, right behind the Big Buffalo and Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them at Frontier Motors that Andrew McKay says hi.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sonny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sonny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Saturday, enjoy Mardi Gras in Milton with the 8th annual Crew of Airship Pirates Mardi Gras Parade. The beads start to fly at 3 o'clock. The 5th annual Pas de Gras event will be Sunday from 11 till 4 on the closed-down Garden Street between Tarragona and Palafox. Enjoy the parade, costume contests, vendors, and fun. Find out more at visitpensacola.com. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
I've changed him, fed him, walked him around, and he's still crying. Now I'm panicking. What should I do?
It's okay. We're glad you called. We learned during the Period of Purple Crying program that babies tend to cry a lot in the first few months of life.
If nothing is working and you need a break, put the baby in a safe place and take a few minutes to walk away and calm down.
During the Period of Purple Crying, it is crucial to stay calm and never shake a baby. To learn more, visit PreventChildAbuseFL.org.
This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the State of Florida, Department of Health, and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Don't you hate it when you wake up and feel like you already missed something important? The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9, News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Where are we going?
Train station.
Why do so many people in that show go to the train station? It's weird. 5:56 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Another acceptable form of ID.
Oh, we'll get to David in just a minute. He is doing news for our sister station, Cat Country, who's fantastic. Let's see. I don't want to dwell, and I don't want to pick on somebody who says something out loud that tells you something about them. But, you know, the actress Claire Danes, she's in Homeland. She's been a lot of stuff. She's a very good actress. She's pregnant at the age of 46. She got pregnant at 44. She's had the child now. But she did a podcast recently, and she apparently was very surprised to discover that she was pregnant at the age of, you know, 44, to the point where she says, "I didn't know it was physically possible. I was 44. Which I kind of want to ask, but you understand how this happens, right? And now, in fairness, she struggled with, you know, they really had to work hard to have their prior child, had to, I guess, undergo, you know, fertility treatments and all that. And so, you know, you can be forgiven for thinking it might be difficult, but, you know, thinking something is difficult or unlikely is very different from thinking it's not physically possible. Because, you know, unless you've gone through, let's just say, a transformation in your life, it's always physically possible for you to become pregnant if certain other conditions are met. 5:58 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. California Governor Gavin Newsom is accusing Dr. Oz of violating the civil rights of Armenian Americans. Newsom filed a formal civil rights complaint yesterday saying Oz discriminated against Armenian Americans in the Los Angeles area in a recent video, which tied the entire community to health care fraud. President Trump declaring a national emergency over Cuba. Trump signed an executive order Thursday stating the policies, practices, and actions of Cuba constitute an unusual and extraordinary threat to U.S. national security. The order also creates a new mechanism to impose tariffs on any nation that supplies oil to Cuba. And the Transportation Safety Administration launching its Confirm ID program at airports nationwide starting Sunday. If you don't have a real ID or other acceptable form of ID, you'll now have to pay $45 for an alternative ID check.
How many states don't have real ID?
It's only a handful, I believe.
It's because
very
know,
few.
I think South Carolina, where my son lives, is one of them. And it just, you know, it's amazing to me that some states don't have it. Five states, Michigan, Minnesota, New York, Vermont, and Washington, utilize enhanced driver's licenses, I guess. I'm trusting the AI because that's what Google tries to force feed you. I thought there were more than that. I thought there were a few more that maybe didn't. It's like it was an option. You didn't have to have a real ID.
Local Talk in the Morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
A call to ice out. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. People being urged across America by those angry.